In the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans, chapter 13, please, as you find that, we'll read a scripture this evening. Thank you for being in church tonight, and good to be here in the house of the Lord. Looking forward to a good day on Sunday. Been praying and looking forward to what the Lord has planned for us, and then as well as tonight. Romans 13, and we'll begin in verse number 1 and read down to verse number 7 if you follow along as we read the Word of God tonight. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, down to verse number 7. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou shalt do that which is good, that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him and doeth evil." We're going to skip down to verse number 7, actually. The Bible says in verse 7, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Please be with the message. May it speak to our hearts and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look tonight in this passage here, looking at different subjects from the Word of God, and tonight is, what does the Bible say about government? What does the Bible say about government? Maybe it's on my heart and my thoughts, but the Lord put this on my heart for this week. Maybe in regards to I Love America Sunday coming up and 4th of July coming up next week. Hope you're getting the grills ready, the ice cream makers ready, and right, there you go. Homemade ice cream, that's a good 4th of July celebration there. But looking at this, what does the Bible say about the subject of government? Government is one of those necessary institutions and evils in life. It's one of those things where you say, thank the Lord, but oh my, at times as well. And what is the purpose? Why do we even need or want the government at times? But is needed, and it we'll see here that it is instituted by God, and so we understand what the Bible says about this area of government and rulers. Some leaders fear God and love people, and then some other rulers hate God and seem to hate or want to hurt people. And so in regards to the form of government or rulers, of who the leader of the land is, really controls the people of the land and the laws of the land. And I'm thankful for the country that we have and the freedoms that we have and the blessings, the liberties, and all that we have. We're very blessed. And you think about that in regards to other countries, about where we could live and what kind of government authority we could have or where our government could be heading, God forbid. So let's look at what the Bible says about this. In Romans chapter 13, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." In verse number 1, it says, "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And we see, first of all, the higher powers that the Bible talks about. And it talks about that these are ordained by God. These higher powers, that there is authority. A lot of people today, they don't like authority. Any form, any shape, any matter, that there's some people that they just do not get along with authority. And that's wrong. That if we cannot submit and obey to authority, we are wrong in our lives. And some people seem to always have a problem with every kind of authority, whether it be parents or bosses or government or police or anyone, have a problem with authority across the board. Well, that's a problem with obedience. That's a problem with the Lord, really. But we see that there's higher powers, the authorities that God put in place in our lives. Why is that? Because we're sinners. And we have a sinful nature and a sinful country. Could you imagine our country without any laws, without any rulers, without any government, without any system at all? It'd be chaos. I think it's already chaos already, but it'd be even more chaos without that. And so God instituted this government and rulers in our lives. And the Bible says that they are ordained by God, that God placed authority in our lives for our good. Whenever we want to get out from under authority in our lives, we are in a dangerous place in our lives. Does that mean that authority is always right? No. We'll get to that part in a minute, but neither are you and I. And so that's why God places authority over us in our lives. It's a place of protection. But also these powers, if you will, the government, they're ordered powers where they're to govern the land, to enforce the law, to protect the citizens of the land. And that's where sometimes where rulers can get a little bit too much authority. And that can be kind of dangerous, where there's one person in charge and they make all the rules and everything rise and falls on them. That's a dangerous place. With someone that thinks, well, I'm the king, I'm the ruler, everyone do what I say. But there's ordered powers where God gives rules and authority for a reason. So what spirit, the spirit we can have? There's probably nothing that divides families or countries or home more than talking about politics and religion, right? You get around the dinner table and you Thanksgiving or Christmas or family get together and you start talking about who you voted for, your beliefs, and I guarantee you there's going to be a divide at that table. And if the table doesn't get flipped over at all, I don't know. even with people that believe the same direction, there's very clear, distinct differences many times with different beliefs. But what spirit should we have? You can't help but drive down the road on any given day and see that people have opinions about government and beliefs. And again, some people that think that they need to put all of their opinions on the back of their car, every one of them, all of their opinions on the back of their car, and you sit there and read them until you go, kids, don't look over here. You're like, drive around them. You don't read what's in front of us. That can be dangerous. But we should have an opinion. We should have a belief. We should have direction from God on what is right or wrong in regards to government and leadership as well. And guess what? We're not all going to agree. You ever realize that? Everyone's not going to agree. You can be saved, have the same Bible, the same home in heaven, and still not believe everything from the Word of God exactly the same. And how much more we may not agree on everything politically as well. So what should we do? We should all fight about it all the time, right? Bring it up at every moment and scream and fight and you know, shake your fist in their face because we know it's right and this person is the savior of our country. Well, that's dangerous if we think that one person's going to turn our country around all by themselves. Only God can do that. Amen? Only God can do that. If we put all of our faith in government, that can be disappointing because people will always fail. Right? Amen? People will always fail. And so we cannot put all of our faith in a person or an institution, but we can put our faith in the Lord. So how should we respond properly and biblically in regards to government and rulers? And what does the Bible say about that? We'll turn to a few places in our Bibles here in a moment. But as you see in Romans chapter 13, verse number 7, God commands us to give honor, right? In Romans 13, 7, it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." That God places people and authority over us in our lives. I don't have to agree with everything that they do or say. Doesn't mean that they could not be in the wrong, but I need to respect the position that God placed them in over me in my life. Why is that the case? Because guess what? I'm not a perfect authority either. Are you? Right? As a parent, as a boss, in other areas, I'm not perfect in an area, but God gives positions of leadership in our homes, in our country, in our lives, and we should respect the position that God has placed over us in authorities. Does it mean the person is always right? No, but neither are you and I. I think sometimes we hold people to a standard and we think, well, they must be perfect, but I don't have to be perfect. Well, how unjust is that? How hypocritical is that? Expecting others to be perfect. Understand this, that God established the home, God established the church, and God established the state and government and rulers. God placed those establishments in our lives for a reason. Because why? Because people need to be ruled, first of all, by God. Amen? That we should be ruled by God because God is the highest authority in our land and should be the highest authority in our lives. But that God placed authority over us in regards to government or police or boss. People over us in our lives for proper levels of authority that we should follow. guess what? In each of these areas, the home, the church, the state, or the country, each has their own authorities as well. In the home, God placed the husband as the authority in the home. And in the church, the pastor, in the state, the leaders, whether it be the governors, the president, different places. And each of them has an order that should be followed. But guess what? All of those answer to God. Amen? All of those areas answer to God. Whenever as a leader, and you have places of leadership in your life as well, that whenever I take myself from out from under the authority of God and following God, I cannot be blessed, I cannot lead properly, and I cannot lead people in the right direction. We all answer to God. And that's a great responsibility when God has placed you in an area of authority in any area in your life. I think sometimes people think, oh, I want to be in charge. And then when you're in charge, you're like, could someone else be in charge for a little bit, please? I want to complain about someone else being in charge. But we answer to God. And so when God places you in an area of authority, I have an extra responsibility for the people, the organization, the home, that I now answer to God for what happens in my home, for what happens in the church, what happens in the job site. And when something happens, that falls on my shoulders as a leader, or for you as a leader as well, that we answer to God. Again, understanding this, that there is no perfect person, there's no perfect home, there's no perfect country, but we do answer to God. All that to say is this: we need to respect the positions of the authority that God placed over us in our lives. From way back when, sometimes you think, there's never been as much political unrest in our country as there is today. Have you ever heard of the Civil War? From the beginnings of newspapers and where they're drawing little cartoon figures about different leaders and joking about this person, making fun of that person. But we should have a respect for the positions that God has placed over us in our lives. Does that mean I agree with everything they do? No. But I should have a respect for the position of authority that God has placed over me in my life, right? Amen? We need to respect the positions that God placed over us. You can look all through the Bible. Did the greatest Christians in the Bible, did they all have perfect authorities? Right? You say, well, I can only live for God if I have a perfect authority. Well, what about Daniel? What about Daniel taken to Babylon? He was under wicked rulers and kingdoms, and some that would turn to God, acknowledge God, others wouldn't. But he lived for God even in an unholy land and with wicked rulers. He still respected the authority, but did not bow to the wickedness of their laws in their land as well. But he did have a respect for the authority. What about Joseph? Joseph was taken to a foreign land, and he was lied about and thrown in prison, but he was raised to second in command, but he had wicked rulers over him. You could think about others with Moses or Elijah, Esther, the disciples, people that had Christians killed for their faith. Doesn't mean that we agree with everything they do. I'm not following the wickedness of the land. We take a stand against that. We'll look at that in a moment. But we should have a respect for the authority that God placed over us in our lives. Amen? A proper respect for the authority. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Daniel knew this as much as anyone, that God could set up the king and he could take away the king. And we understand that in our land as well. We need to respect the position of leadership that God places over us in our lives. Number two, how should we biblically respond to government or rulers or authority in our life? Number two is this: we need to obey the law. Amen? Wouldn't that be great in our country if people just obeyed the law? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I don't know if I'm naive enough to think that people just want to do what's right, that people just want to obey the law and live, live peaceably in your neighborhood, in your city, in your country. But unfortunately, there's people that are doing everything that they can to get out from under the law, to break the law, to steal, destroy, all that. And so in our regards to authority, government in our life, that we should be obedient to the law. Turn over, if you will, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 6, just a few books over, and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Here, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ." It says, "Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters." Now, we don't obey wickedness. If someone tells you to do something wicked, look at something wicked, no, I'm not obeying that. We ought to obey God rather than man, the Bible says. Amen? But we should obey the law that's given to us. Many people think this: I obey the law as only as long as the law is watching me. All right? Can we give an illustration where we all have broken the law, and you know where I'm going, right? You're driving down the road, and you need to get somewhere fast. Or maybe you don't even need to get somewhere fast, but you just want to get there fast because you're impatient like the rest of us. And you break the law speeding until what? Until you see the lights behind you. I was driving up Bonneville the other day, and I wasn't breaking the law. I wasn't speeding, I promise. And all of a sudden, I saw a police that they were in another lane, and they get behind you, and you think, not today. Or you think, what did I do? I'm going in my mind through it. I have my registration tags on there. I believe my brake lights are working. No one's told me otherwise, and I'm going through it, and then they went around me. I was like, I don't know what that was for. I've had that a couple times, the officer scare tactic of, I'm not going to pull you over, but I'm going to make you really nervous, right? Many times people do this. Well, I'm going to obey the law as long as someone is watching me, right? Only as long as someone is watching me. Or I obey the law unless if I don't get caught, if I break the law. That's ruining our country today. That's why they have to lock up everything in Walmart and CVS and whatever places, because they're getting stuff stolen from them constantly because people come and just fill their backpacks and their jackets and take off with it. We need to get back to obeying the law of the land. We can't expect someone else to do something that we won't do ourselves. So we need to obey the law. Be obedient to them that are your masters. In the book of Matthew chapter 22, you don't have to turn there, you can, but in Matthew 22, they came to Jesus and said, do we have to give our taxes, And he said, "Tell us therefore what thou thinkest. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" And they say unto him, "Caesar's." Then saith he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled, and they left him, and they went their way. And even Jesus Christ himself said to be obedient unto your masters, to your rulers, to the law of the land. And we should be obedient to the laws that have been given to us. If I expect others to obey the laws, then I should obey the laws. Not the ones that I like, but the ones that are right. Now again, and we'll get to the point here in a bit that we ought to obey God rather than man. That's always the exception to the rule that God is the highest law of the land. And if anyone wants to change the law in regards to God's law, well, I obey God and disobey man if that would be the case. But obey the laws that God has placed in front of you. Number three, we should pray for our leaders and our country. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you will, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. We are good at complaining about our country. We're good at complaining about our leaders and the laws and all those things. And some of it, yes, I'm not happy with a lot of the things that are going on in our land as well, but we need to be praying more than complaining. Amen? We'll try that one again. We need to be praying more than complaining. There's nothing that makes a difference more than prayer, right? And given the gospel, that would be the next one. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Look at this, for kings and for all that are in authority. Do you ever think, Lord, do I have to pray for them? Do I really have to think about them while I'm praying? I don't really want to pray for that person. Yes, we should pray for them. You know, the Bible says, let's put it in this context. Jesus said, you know, they said, how should we treat our enemies? The Bible says, well, you should love your enemies. You should pray for them. You should do good to them. But prayer should be a part of praying for those that even that we oppose what they believe and what we believe. Why? Because God can change their heart. Amen? That God, we should pray that God would save their soul, not that God would take their life out. Right? We're guilty sometimes as a Christian. You know, God, would you take them away? How about God save their soul? God, would you change their heart and their thoughts and pray for them, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Pray for your leaders and for your country. Pray for your leaders in your country. Pray for them by name. Pray for them. You think about that. It's easy to complain about authority until you're in that place of authority, right? You think they should be doing a better job. And yes, there's a lot that should be. But are we praying for them, right? Are we praying that God would direct their heart and their mind? The Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God placed that person there. You say, but I don't like that. But God still placed them there. And God can turn their heart, can change their mind. God can save their soul and turn them back the right direction. Pray for your leaders. Pray for them by name. Pray for them daily. Pray for the leaders that God has placed over you. Not just for the ones that you like. Amen? Not just for the ones that we like, that we agree with, but for all of those that God has placed in authority over us in our lives. Pray for your country. Pray for laws, elections. Pray for those things. But pray that God would make a difference. There's nothing that makes a difference more than prayer and by giving the gospel. Amen? Our country is not going to turn around because of a law. You know that? Our country is not going to turn around because of one leader. But the country will turn around by prayer of God's people and by God's people being a gospel witness. Amen? One soul at a time, giving the gospel and praying that God would reach their soul and their life. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our country. And then fourthly and lastly tonight is this, stand for God and His Word. Amen? Stand for God and His Word. You say, well, they're not making right laws. Well, you still need to do what's right. Again, we ought to obey God rather than man, the Bible says. The disciples in Acts chapter 5 were the ones that quoted this, that made this statement. If you want to turn there, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 26. But we should obey God first and foremost because God is the ultimate authority. Amen? God is the ultimate authority. God will never lead us in the wrong direction. He'll never make a wrong law. He'll never lead you away from the Word of God. And in Acts chapter 5 verse 26, and it says, then went the captain and the officers as they brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Acts chapter 5, verse 26, 27, here it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in His name? Well, in whose name? Well, Jesus. So the authority said, don't preach in Jesus' name. Well, if our ultimate authority is people in this land, well, then they couldn't preach the gospel. Look at this. Did we not command you not to teach in His name? And behold, we have filled Jerusalem. It says, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. What a great testimony, isn't that? And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. How many times were the disciples brought before the council that said, we're going to put you to death if you preach the gospel? And they said, we're not careful to answer you. That we're not careful to answer you. We're going to go and we're going to continue to preach the gospel no matter what you say. and they'd either kill them, and at times that did happen, or they let them go and they continue to preach the gospel. They'd say, now you better go out and never preach the gospel again. And what did they do? They preached the gospel to the council that told them not to preach, and then they went out in the streets as well and continued to preach as well. You know what? Before we get more consumed with what political party that we side with, here's the thing. I don't agree with any of them, right? You go down the list and you look at their beliefs and I think, well, I don't agree with that and that and that. Before you side with a political party, we should side with the Word of God. Amen? Because anything that man sets up is corrupt, right? It's going to go the wrong direction. Someone's going to get in charge of that and turn it away from the Lord at some point. That's why God and His Word must be our ultimate authority in our lives. Amen? God is the ultimate authority. God is always right. Man's not always right. You're not always right, and neither am I. But God is always right. We shouldn't be so consumed with picking our political sides and this person's going to turn things around. I believe that that helps. I encourage praying for our leaders, voting, be informed. But we need to be praying and being a gospel witness. Nothing will change this country and turn it around like prayer and being a witness for the Lord. Remember this, God is the highest law in the land. If the law says it's right, but God says it's wrong, we'll listen to God. If the law says it's wrong, but God says it's right, we'll obey God. Just because it's legalized in our country, I hate that. Because the country says it's legalized, well, then it must be okay. No, just because man says it's okay doesn't mean that God said it's okay. I think about the three Hebrew boys where they said, at the sound of the music, you will bow to the idol or you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. There could be a day and age in our country where that could be the case. You give up your Bible, you give up your faith, you denounce your God, or your life, or we'll take your life. What do you do at that point? Three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had that challenge faced in front of them. But you know what? When it came time, they weren't even hesitating bowing to the idol, were they? They were brought before the king, and they said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, king. They said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They said, we're going to obey God. Guess what? When they started tying them up, they could have said, okay, we'll bow now. They never changed their faith in their God. They never changed their convictions, even to the point where they threw him into the furnace, but God protected him there. Because they said, we want to obey God most of all, and we want to obey God's word. In conclusion tonight, don't place all of your time and faith in the government. If you're one of those people that you've got Fox News on the 24/7, you know, roundabout in your house, God help you. I can't do that. I want to be informed. I read the news more than I watch the news. I can't handle all everyone's opinions and thoughts and all the stuff. Be informed, but don't be consumed with politics. You let it control your life. Be consumed with the Word of God. Amen? Be consumed with God's Word more than politics. Be informed, but be praying. Be praying. The world will not be changed by the leaders of man, but by the gospel and by the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Word is what makes a difference in our lives. As we finish tonight, just a reminder with this, respect the positions, the authority that God has placed over you. It doesn't mean that people are perfect, but respect the positions that God has placed over you. Then obey the law that God has placed over you as well. And do right, no matter who is watching or who else is doing right, you do right. Number three, pray for leaders of our country. And then lastly, stand for God and His Word. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll finish the service tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the night, and I pray for your blessing. Help us, Lord, to be right with a